morning. Time to get up and go to work.
The Power Pack Morning Zoo. Are you kidding me?
Fire!
It's the greatest radio show ever.
Good morning and welcome.
Dan Mickley.
Oh my God, he's from Chicago. That's amazing.
Vince Marotta.
Oh, why, Vince? Who's better than Vince?
Sarah Cazell.
Ruthless.
And Jerry Carlin.
It can only be Jerry.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Mickley and Marotta Mornings.
Shout out to Dan Mickley, my boy. Him and Vince. Okay.
And a good morning to all Valley sports fans. Happy Thursday, Vinny. We're almost there. Chug-a-luggin' to the finish line.
Story of my life.
Chug-a-luggin' to Friday.
Another potential autobiography title for me. Chug-a-luggin'.
Chug-a-luggin' to the finish line. We'll begin today with a great little compliment I received on behalf of the show yesterday. I had a lunch appointment, and one of the servers at the restaurant I was at ran up to me as I was walking out and just gushed about our show, thanked us for all we do. And it was a really, really nice thing. And then Jared, she said her young son, every time mustache, not a mustache, comes on, has a dance that he does to the song.
How young is the son?
Pretty young.
28.
Yeah, 28.
No, yeah. I wish you take a video, send it to us. We'll post it on our thing.
There you go.
We love interaction with fans like that.
How could you not dance to the theme song?
Me and Sarah dance to it almost every time.
You and Sarah dance to everything.
Well, Jared almost. Especially.
We're the energy people, Beck. That's what we do.
I'm on camera now, you know. Whenever I talk. First of all, I don't think we promote that feature enough, that people can watch the show live.
Have you thought about why we're
People, for whatever reason, they like that kind of stuff. And you guys are mostly featured on it, but when I chime in now, they have a microphone on me. And what I've realized, because we posted the clip of me telling part of the story of telling my wife she was too heavy to be a jockey. Boy, my goodness, I hunch over like a Quasimodo, like some kind of ghoul. I gotta work on my posture.
Let's go to the ghoul cam.
Yeah.
The things you need to work on, posture's way down the list, Jared. Way down the list. But listen, don't get all, you know, don't get in your feels now just because you're on camera. Don't let it throw you off your game. Look at him. He's like,
Hello.
No.
I can't wait for the first on-camera sports kebab.
That's tomorrow.
Squinting.
Oh. Yeah, looking in.
He's going to be Jim Krasinski all up in there going, or John Krasinski, the character, looking right at
Jim Halperin,
the camera.
John Krasinski.
Yes. Looking straight to camera the whole time.
Well, it's nice that we got love from the audience.
Yeah, I thought so. No, that was very, very cool. And I love that. I love that young children, kids, young adults vibe on our stupidity.
From 1 to 99.
Our stupidity really is ageless.
Yes.
Bickley and Marotta Mornings, making Arizona dumber since 2013.
Yeah, that's right. We're the Matta Show, making Arizona dumb again. Let's print out the hats.
I don't look good in hats, Mick.
Neither do I. Start the show, Jarrett.
The Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Cannonball coming.
The Splash, brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
The D-backs kept it going in Cincinnati. They scored a 4-3 win over the Reds at Great American Ballpark. Gabby Moreno's RBI single in the sixth broke a 2-2 tie. Gino Suarez had a solo home run in the eighth that loomed large as the Reds threatened in the ninth, but Joe Mantiply came in for an ineffective Kevin Ginkle to record the final two outs. Jordan Montgomery solid once again. Seven innings, allowed just two runs while scattering seven hits. D-backs have won three straight for the first time all year. That series concludes today, and the D-backs going for a sweep. Slade Ciccone on the mound against fireballer Hunter Green in a game that starts 10:10 first pitch. Pregame coverage coming up here at 9:30, meaning you don't get the full complement of Bickley and Murata mornings today. 9:30 here on Arizona Sports on 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app. Elsewhere in baseball, Ipe Mizuhara, the former interpreter for Dodgers star Shohei Ohtani, has agreed to plead guilty today to charges of bank fraud that included him allegedly stealing close to $17 million from Ohtani to pay gambling debts. Mizuhara's arraignment is scheduled for next Tuesday, May 14th. He will plead guilty to one count of bank fraud, which carries a maximum sentence of 30 years, and one count of submitting a false tax return, which carries a maximum sentence of 3 years. No word on whether or not there's a charge for that haircut. The Pittsburgh Pirates are calling up right-hander Paul Skeens, their number one pick out of LSU last summer, who's been absolutely dominating at the AAA level. He's allowed just 3 earned runs in 27 and a third innings, 45 strikeouts. He's expected to make his debut Saturday against the Cub.
The Cub!
I'm wondering if the big league club in Pittsburgh will keep the governor on Paul Skeens the way the Indianapolis team did. He started like his first 4 starts, I think he went 3 innings. He was just mowing people down.
Wow.
Let him cook, man. You're the Pirates, for God's sake.
You're the Pirates.
Your fans need something to get behind. Last night in the NBA playoffs, Jalen Brunson scored 14 of his 29 points in the fourth quarter. The Knicks beat Indiana 130 to 121 to take a 2-0 series lead in their Eastern Conference semifinal. Dante DiVincenzo and OG Anunoby each had 28 for the Knicks, but Anunoby left the game early with a hamstring issue and did not return. They are simply running out of players New York.
A lot of people are blaming the head coach for that, for running him, playing him too hard, many minutes.
We will get into that because that is certainly being talked about.
And all hell broke loose after that game with Carlisle complaining about officiating.
Market size.
Yeah, there was a lot of complaining going on. Tonight, 2 games on the postseason schedule. First, it's Game 2 in Boston with the Celtics hosting the Cleveland Cavaliers. Celtics lead that series 1-0. Tip-off scheduled at 4 on ESPN. Then it's Game 2, Mavericks-Thunder in OKC. Thunder cruised in Game 1 on Tuesday. That game tips at 6:30. It's also on ESPN. Nikola Jokic of the Denver Nuggets named the league's most valuable player for the 3rd time in his career. He beat out Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Luka Doncic to win the award for the 3rd time in 4 years. He becomes only the 9th player in league history to win the honor at least 3 times. And this is a who's who. Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem, Moses Malone, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, and LeBron James.
Mm. It's a who's who, but think about that. 9 players have won it at least 3 times. That's, compared to other sports, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Kevin Durant of the Suns received 1 5th place vote. We're going to get into Kevin Durant
today. Yeah, he's going to come up on the show today.
This morning, the Charlotte Hornets named their new head coach. It's Charles Lee, currently an assistant with the Boston Celtics. He's been an assistant in the NBA for 11 seasons, so they don't go down the J.J. Redick road. Does that mean J.J. Redick is going to coach the Lakers? We shall see. In the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Florida Panthers even their Eastern Conference semifinal with a 6-1 rout of the Boston Bruins. Alexander Barkov scored twice. Sam Reinhart had 4 assists for Florida. That game featured a star-on-star fight. David Pastrnak against Matthew Tkachuk. You don't see that very often.
You're right. You don't.
I mean, you see Tkachuk fight, but not Pastrnak.
That's true.
In the West, Connor Garland, the former Coyote, capped a furious Vancouver comeback with a goal at 14:26 of the 3rd period. Canucks beat Edmonton 5-4 in game 1 of their Western Conference semifinal. Edmonton led that game 4-1 late into the 2nd period, and they blew it! Another elevated purse event this week on the PGA Tour. The Wells Fargo Championship gets underway this morning in Charlotte. Wyndham Clark is the defending champion. He will tee off at the 10th hole today at 8:22 Arizona time. Scottie Scheffler, by the way, the world's number one player and winner of 4 events already this year, including the Masters, is not in the field. He's still on baby watch. That goes back to the Masters. They haven't had their baby yet. So now they're wondering if he's going to be available for the PGA Championship next week.
Wow.
Let's go.
I'm a golf dork. I should have known that.
His wife seems like she's 10 months pregnant. We've been on baby watch that long.
Wow.
Sure, she is the most miserable of all.
Oh, how about it?
Like, let's move this along.
And the LPGA Tour stop this week is in Clifton, New Jersey, the Cognizant Founders Cup. Nelly Korda attempting to win her sixth straight event that she's played in. If she does it this weekend, she'll break the record of five in a row currently shared with Nancy Lopez and Annika Sorenstam. So we might see women's golf history.
Nice.
This weekend.
Nice.
There you go. There is your splash for whatever the hell day today is.
Thursday.
Oh, Thursday.
It's a chug-a-lug Thursday, Vinny.
Chug-a-lug Thursday. We said we're going to talk about Kevin Durant, and wow.
We are.
The latest smoke about Kevin Durant is pretty interesting. We'll tell you about it straight ahead here on Bickley and Murata Mornings, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, everybody, it's Bernsey. Kevin Durant trade rumors swirl. Why do the rumors swirl? And what will it take for the rumors to stop? Find out on Burns and Gambo at straight up 2 o'clock here on Arizona Sports.
Kevin Durant was free and didn't go to Miami. So what makes you think you're going to get him now? Kevin Durant's been totally free. He's been totally free twice. When he after OKC, he went to Golden State. After right. Golden State, he went to Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
What makes you think he want to go to Miami now?
Because I talked to him. I talked to KD. And I know KD going to see this, and KD can attest to this. And you can talk about it tomorrow on First Take. I talked to KD. KD and I had a lengthy conversation. Listen, I'm not into basketball, and people like KD and LeBron and some of these other players that I know, they confided me, and I asked if it was okay to talk about it tonight on Nightcap, and just so happened, boom, it comes up.
Right.
And he said, you know what, he would have no problem coming down to Miami if it made sense. And what pieces the Heat are able to keep and surround him with to make sure they have a chance to be able to continue.
I won't bam it. I won't
the,
okay.
The voices you heard, Shannon Sharp, the Nightcap podcast, Chad Ocho Cinco Johnson, is the player who said that KD confided in him.
Yeah.
Said he would have no problem going to Miami if it made sense and gave permission for it to be talked about on podcast and television.
Yes, and the latter part is where the story, in my opinion, gets a little troubling, right? And so where do you begin with this? Number one, I would say this. I've seen a naivete in this market that is mind-blowing to me. People with their heads in their sand as if this could never possibly be true. And that, to me, is really just absurd. If you watch the NBA, if you know how the players up and leave, you know, the wanderlust that has come to define the league, particularly among the top players. And then you factor in something that nobody seems to want to look in the mirror. If this Suns team was so joyless and so not into each other and so disconnected, which they were, why would anybody want to return to that basketball team? You can make a stance from a competitive standpoint. It's the best strategy for the Phoenix Suns. Bring back the big three and run it back. But if that room was as joyless as it appeared and as disconnected as it appeared, what would be the motivation for anyone inside that room to go, yeah, let's run it back. Well, let's go have a really crappy time the next 12 months.
Well, and then you start examining and asking, why was it so joyless?
Mm-hmm.
Is the subject of these rumors, Kevin Durant, is that the reason why it was joyless? Kevin Durant, look, he had a tremendous year.
Mm-hmm.
He is an unbelievable basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
Something has followed him for a long time now. He's not happy.
Charles Barkley on this radio program called him Mr. Miserable.
That was before he got traded to the Suns.
That was before he got traded to the Suns. And if this has been a defining characteristic of Kevin Durant, and then suddenly it infected the Suns last season, yeah, I think that's on the table. I think there are many people in the organization, they'll never say this publicly, but there's a belief that Kevin Durant might be a culture killer. That if you're trying to build something substantial, you know, camaraderie, team-based, good luck. So to me, I take all of this stuff very seriously. And look, I do think that a lot of people, I was listening to Wolf and Luke yesterday, and Luke was almost apoplectic. He couldn't even believe that this could possibly be true. I thought that Luke was mistaking Ocho Cinco for Antonio Brown. Ocho Cinco was a diva as a wide receiver. He's a guy that changed his name, which makes people look at him like, what are you, goofy? But he's not
a guy who fashioned his own Hall of Fame jacket to wear on the sidelines of NFL.
That's true. So there's that stuff, but there's not CTE crazy from Ocho Cinco. So my point is this. If Ocho Cinco is telling Shannon Sharp, yes, I know this because I talked about it with Kevin Durant. If that was all that was said, I'd go, okay. But then to say, but he gave me his blessing to talk about it on a podcast. So, and now that it's come up here, we're talking about it now.
Yeah. And so Shannon Sharp in this conversation, the follow-up to that was, why is KD telling Chad Ochocinco this now?
I'm just telling you, KD gave me his sentiments on how he feels about coming to Miami, and that's what he told me.
I'm just trying to figure out why now? Because he had two other opportunities in his prime to go to Miami.
He's still in his prime.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
We talk about
but why now?
The most prolific sport of all time. He's still in
you still sport. Haven't told me why now, though.
Oh, I listen, I can ask him. Matter of fact, I can FaceTime him right now, and we can ask him why now. Wow. I'm not sure if that's... I don't want to be rude.
I just think the thing is that what the Suns, considering what they don't have any draft capital, they're going to draft compensation, and they're going to players. And knowing Riles, he's not going to be wanting to give that up.
Well, I mean, there's that misnomer again that the Suns have no draft capital. They do have draft capital. It's just that three of their first round picks are not their own.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of it's marginalized a little bit. So
yeah,
there's also the misnomer that they would want draft capital.
That's the other thing I was going to get into. Even if this, let's just say there's smoke here.
Okay,
and now you can connect another dot potentially. We've been talking about it for 11 days now. What's going on with Frank Vogel and the Phoenix Suns? Why is this team not making any determination on the future of their own head coach? Is it because one of the top players might want out? Are the Suns aware of this? Is that putting a pause on, you know, this seemingly, this thing has been teased forever?
Yes.
There's an announcement coming. Well, when is it coming?
Yeah.
So I am like you. Just because it's a football player who was known for being a little bit of a goofball is putting this out there, I'm not going to dismiss it.
No.
I'm not going to put 100% belief in it either. But you hit the nail on the head. We know how NBA players operate. And we've seen Kevin Durant just be out front about it in the past on two different occasions. Said, yep, I want to be traded. I want to go to Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
First time it didn't work out. Second time it did. No, this is not his first rodeo.
No.
You know, if he's indeed seeking greener pastures, he's probably going to go about it a different way.
Yeah, right on the money. And here's the other thing, too, because I think Suns fans here in the Valley, we have become conditioned to look at it through one prism, us. What's the best for our basketball team? There's a lot of people who are Kevin Durant fans, stands, who have no allegiance to the Phoenix Suns at all. You can see that subset on social media. Those people and people around Kevin Durant, from their vantage point, Kevin Durant is still in his prime. In their vantage point, he still may be. From their vantage point, his legacy still has to be written. There still has to be a final chapter to his legacy. And Kevin Durant might be looking at that and going, this is a dead end. I look at the Western Conference. I look at this team. I look at our limitations. I look at this offense that we had. I look at the fact that who's going to be our leader. And he might be saying, I have to go.
Yeah.
So, again, I'm not saying this is going to happen. But get your head out of the sand. If you think automatically this would never happen, they committed.
Well, in full interest of keeping an open mind and considering all possibilities and all angles on this story, I'm also not going to dismiss that Chad Ochocinco is a Miami guy who might have run into Kevin Durant.
Absolutely.
And look, there is a built-in desire for 99% of the league at some point to get to Miami to play basketball.
South Beach, the number one destination.
It might have been, hey, KD, you ever going to come down to Miami to play? Oh, I'd have no problem with that. Oh, really? If it made sense. Now, he might not be talking about this offseason. He might be talking about to end his career if it made sense for both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be inflated. But, again, I'm dismissing nothing. Considering Kevin Durant's history and considering what we just saw for this season from the Phoenix Suns in terms of the lack of joy, I'm considering everything.
And considering there's no resolution on the Frank Vogel matter, there's a lot of things on the periphery that inflate this rather shallow rumor.
Oh, yeah. And we're just getting started.
And we're just getting started.
You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, three in a row for the D-backs for the first time this year. We'll relive that third in a row next in D-backs Daily. It's Bickley and Marotta mornings on this Thursday. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball.
D-backs Daily.
Jordan Montgomery on the mound for the D-backs in Cincinnati as they look for their third straight win. Graham Ashcraft throwing for Cincinnati, and it was the Reds who would score first in this one. Bottom of the second inning, Tyler Stevenson led things off with a double against Montgomery. Stevenson would take third as Lourdes Gurriel Jr. had trouble with the ball in the left field corner. Santiago Espinal would follow, and the D-backs used a little teamwork on defense.
The pitch, line drive. Oh, it's knocked down the glove by Suarez. Newman picks it up, the shortstop, and throws to first in time. Oh, what teamwork on the left side of the infield. And hanging at third is Stevenson. I don't know if I've ever seen that before.
Yeah, Chris Garagiola on the call. Even with the good defense, the Reds would break through with one out. The one-time Diamondback Stuart Fairchild stepping to the plate.
Here comes the 3-2 pitch. Swing, and that's a base hit into left field. Coming home to score is Stevenson. Fairchild's going to try and turn it into a double. Here comes the throw. He's out. Great throw from Gurriel. Second outfield assist of the year, but the Reds take a 1-0 lead.
Yeah, so Gurriel gets an error and an assist in the same inning. By the way, Stuart Fairchild, is that the most Scottish-sounding name ever?
Oh, it does,
For a baseball player.
Stuart Fairchild! Should be leading the British Open.
Yeah. Second most, you don't know the player, Haggis McGregor.
Yeah, definitely Haggis.
1-0 Reds, Jamer Candelario and TJ Friedl would both single with two outs, but Montgomery wiggled out of it. He got Luke Maley to fly out to left to end the inning. D-backs would answer almost immediately in the top of the third. Gabby Moreno led off with a single, and that brought up Paven Smith.
Ashcraft ready, the righty throws, and there's a line drive off the glove of the first baseman, down the line, into the corner. Moreno rounding second, headed to third. Tony Parascica going to send him home. The throw misses the cutoff man, and Moreno walks home on an RBI double. We are tied at one.
Yep, 1-1 at that point. Corbin Carroll would draw a one-out walk. Ketel Marte hustled out an infield single, diving head first into the bag ahead of the throw to load the bases. Jock Peterson couldn't cash in. He flew out to center. But that brought up Christian Walker, who took the opportunity to live up to his name.
And the 3-2 pitch to Walker on the way. It's outside. He walked him.
So, bases loaded walk makes it 2-1. D-backs first lead after 2.5 innings. That would stick until the fourth. Stevenson again singled a lead off for Cincinnati. After a fielder's choice and a flyout, Montgomery faced Candelario with a runner on first base.
As the 0-1 runner goes, there's a swing. High fly ball, deep left field. Gurriel racing after it and plays it off the left field wall. Rounding second, heading home is the runner. Oh, the throw hits the runner, Espinal, in the back, and he is safe. He scores on an RBI double, and we're tied at 2.
Yeah, tied at 2-2. D-backs threatened in the fifth, but Walker grounded into a 6-4-3 double play to kill that threat. The Reds would have a chance in the fifth after Ellie De La Cruz got on via fielder's choice. He immediately stole second and third base, where he was stranded when Montgomery got Stevenson to pop out to first. Gurriel and Suarez would single back-to-back to lead off the sixth for the Diamondbacks, and Cincinnati would pull Ashcraft for a reliever Fernando Cruz. Two pitches into his appearance, the D-backs would retake the lead thanks to Moreno.
0-1. Swing. Ground ball left side. That's into left field. A base hit. Gurriel's going to be waved around third. The throw to the plate is cut off by Stevenson. And now Suarez just now gets back into second base safely after he was caught in no man's land.
Yeah, D-backs couldn't tack on. Smith grounded into the third double play of the game for the D-backs. Kevin Newman lined out to center. Montgomery would hold Cincy at bay, retiring the Reds in order in the sixth and seventh. Top of the eighth, two outs, bases empty, and the former Red, Gino Suarez, providing some insurance.
The 2-0. Suarez crushes deep to left field, and that's a long one. Way gone for Suarez. 4-2 Diamondbacks.
There we go.
Yeah, big.
Hey. Hey, you.
Hey, you.
Big run there, as it would turn out. Two-run lead at that point. Ryan Thompson came in the eighth inning and does what Ryan Thompson does. A 1-2-3 inning. He has been fantastic.
He's been a machine.
In the ninth, Torrey Lovello, now with options, gave the save opportunity to Kevin Ginkle, who walked the leadoff batter, Jake Fraley. With one out, Candelario single to put runners on first and second for T.J. Friedel.
Here it is, 3-1 pitch, line drive, right field base hit. McCarthy cuts it off, but coming home to score is Fraley. On his way to third is Candelario. It's now 4-3.
Yeah, and that would force Torrey Lovello, again, he had options. He didn't go to Paul Sewald. He went to the lefty, Joe Mantiply, with the Reds having only two left-handed hitters on their bench. So he brings in Mantiply with a one-run lead. Mantiply strikes out Will Benson and then facing Jonathan India with the tying run 90 feet away.
The payoff is hit in the air to right. It's playable for McCarthy. He's underneath it, and the Diamondbacks hang on by the skin of their teeth. They take down the Reds by a final score of 4-3.
Yeah, and they clinched the series win in Cincinnati. And lots of different heroes in this game. Oh, but how about Joe Mantiply?
He's the number one hero. Yeah. Okay, so this was very, very interesting because as that ninth inning began to unfold for the Gink, the Gink. You know what I've said about Kevin Ginkle? What I really loved about him, aside from his competitive spirit and sort of just, you know, his alpha male kind of vibe when he takes the mound, he, during the playoffs last year, showed this great ability that when there was traffic around him, he never lost his mind. He was always able to get through innings, even if there was a lot of stuff going on around him. So that was in play last night, but Torrey Lovello at one point said, nope, this is going to end wrong. Mm-hmm. And he gave the ball to Joe Mantiply, and I thought that was a really intuitive move from Torrey Lovello at that point in time because Kevin Ginkle, of all people, has shown the ability to get himself out of trouble. Mm-hmm. And he didn't have Paul Sewald, and I was thinking in real time that we were just yesterday kind of going, okay, good job of getting Paul Sewald into a game where it wasn't high leverage, but getting him in that game made he was not available last night. When they could have really used a closer. The fact that Joe Mantiply was able to get that thing shut down and the fact that they got off that field with the win, this might be one of these many huge pivot point moments of the season.
Here was Torrey Lovello on Mantiply stepping up.
What Joe Mantiply did today was unbelievable. In a very uncommon way, he went out there and got himself ready and less than a batter, executed pitch after pitch, and picked up his teammates. It was fantastic. You know, I was committed to Kevin at a certain point, and I saw that they were maneuvering. And we're going to have some left-handed batters, and you know when you get in a situation where you need a big out and you got to keep the ball in the infield, and the strikeout was the best outcome. I just felt like Joe was the right guy, so we got him up and one batter, he got himself ready. But I was committed to Gink to get to a certain point, and then I felt like Joe was going to stand by and pick him up.
Yeah, the strikeout for the second out in the ninth. Mantiply comes in to face Benson, who has the highest strikeout rate in all of baseball, by the way.
Yeah.
But Joe Mantiply is not a strikeout pitcher. Kevin Ginkle is a strikeout pitcher.
That the strikeout of Will Benson to me was a gift from the third base umpire. It was a check swing punch out, and it did not look like he broke the plane. But I'll take it. Yeah. I'll take it. So Jordan Montgomery was really solid. Mm-hmm. Gino Suarez came up with that big home run. We were just talking about how we were getting all the strikeouts, but not the slug from him. So that was a huge insurance run to post and to dance their way out of that ninth inning. I'm telling you, this is the kind of game that can make a team elevate a little bit. I'm hoping for it.
The only thing I have to point out, Corbin Carroll did not follow up his breakout game with momentum like I thought he was going to.
No, went 0-for-4 in the game. So didn't follow it up. We'll see how he I haven't seen the lineup for today. Early game today. 10-10, meaning that we're off the air a little bit early at 9:30 for D-backs pregame, but the D-backs going for a sweep. It would be their first sweep of the year with Slade Ciccone on the mound. Coming up next, the NBA playoffs continued last night and nothing can stop the New York Knicks. Unless they don't have enough players to field a team. We'll get into that and more straight ahead. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, it's Luke. What happens when you put Ron Wolfley and Tip Ryman together in the same room? Find out as we are live from Cards HQ after the D-backs series finale against the Reds. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
We continue here on the Thursday edition of Bickley and Murata Mornings, live from the Auction Community Studios. Dan Bickley, Vince Murata, Sarah Cazell, Jarrett Carlin taking you up till 10 o'clock. Can anything stop the New York Knicks, Dan Bickley? Doesn't look like the Indiana Pacers can. Knicks get another win. They go up 2-0. And as par for the course, another injury last night.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know the severity of it. What we do know, OG Anunoby was having an otherworldly performance. Leaves the game early with what was called a hamstring injury, did not return. Jalen Brunson left that game for a time in the second quarter, came back and had an unbelievable second half. That guy is a stone cold killer.
Yes, he is.
And every time I watch him play, I can't believe that Mark Cuban and the Dallas Mavericks let him walk. It's the second time they've done that with a top point guard.
Yeah, Steve Nash, number one, and then you make the mistake again with Jalen Brunson. And yeah, I'm continually amazed by this. Jalen Brunson clearly was a revelation to all of us during that ill-fated Mavs series where it wasn't just Luka eating the Suns' lunch, it was that dude.
Mm-hmm.
And just the sturdiness in which he plays, how clutch he is, how nobody can stop him. That's what's amazing to me. He's not the biggest guy, doesn't jump the highest.
Force of will.
Yes.
He's left-handed, he's strong, he's got unbelievable footwork.
Mm-hmm.
He's super clutch, too.
And
he's
super clutch, super smart.
Like, I was reading the results again of the NBA awards now that they're all done, they're all given out. The NBA gives out a clutch award. He wasn't in the top three.
Wow. Wow.
And he finished fifth, was it, in the MVP voting? Man, he is.
Yeah, no, he's fantastic. And so, yeah, so listen, I don't know how long this is going to last. I'm not sure the Pacers are out of this series, given how banged up the Knicks are. There's some people who fear that Jalen Brunson might have gotten a shot back there in the second quarter. He missed the entire second quarter, right?
Yeah.
And maybe he's going to,
the blue juice.
Right, he's all mooned up on the blue juice. And maybe he might not even be available for game. There's a lot in the air about that. But what another great night in Madison Square Garden. And here's something else that I've noticed. I don't know if Knicks fans are becoming insufferable, but a lot of
they always have. Been.
But a lot of people are accusing them of being insufferable right now.
Mm-hmm.
Have they always been?
Yeah, what do you mean becoming?
I mean,
isn't that kind of their whole deal?
They haven't been good in a long time.
I was going to say, they haven't been good enough to talk.
It's hard to chirp and be insufferable when you're never making the playoffs.
Yeah.
You have nothing to chirp
about.
Now they got something to chirp about.
Right. And
ask Philly fans how they feel about New York fans right now.
Do we not remember
they took over the Sixers arena.
They're Lakers fans without the winning.
I mean, that was after like one playoff win.
Yeah. On the other side of it, the Pacers... they feel victimized, and it's starting with their head coach, Rick Carlisle.
You know, the whole world knows that Halliburton's got a bad back, and Hart comes up and shoves him in the back, and it's all over Twitter right now because a few people have showed it to me, and J.B. DeRosa's looking right at it. You can see him. He's got vision of the play, and he shoves Ty right into the corner, and there's no whistle, right in the back, and so that was shocking. You know, and there are many others, but I can promise you that we're going to submit these tonight. New York can get ready. They'll see them too. You know, I'm always talking to our guys about not making it about the officials, but, you know, we deserve a fair shot, you know, and there's not a consistent balance, and that's disappointing.
He went even further, and it wasn't even just limited to his team not mm-hmm. getting a fair shot. Listen to this.
I can only go by what I see, what I saw, and that's small beans compared to everything else, you know. But you know, small market teams deserve an equal shot. They deserve a fair shot. No matter where they're playing.
Bick, you know
he
how
really
I feel
went
about
there.
You know how I feel about NBA officiating. It is not good in a two-word phrase.
Yeah.
I don't think there is some nefarious NBA plan in the course of competition in a playoff game to hold down a small market team.
Absolutely not.
And Rick Carlisle talked about, all right, Josh Hart pushes Tyrese Halliburton in the back right in front of J.B. DeRosa, who doesn't blow the whistle. That's J.B. DeRosa. Just because he sees it doesn't mean he's going to make the right call.
Yeah.
That's most NBA officials.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, I think Rick Carlisle had a very legitimate complaint at the end of game one. That illegal screen call at that point in time I thought was really garbage.
The illegal screen call and the ball that they called a kickball on Neesmith, which didn't come anywhere close to his foot.
That's
not reviewable.
That's right.
Those are beefs. Carlisle lost his mind when the official called double dribble on Isaiah Hartenstein, and then they reversed the call.
Yep.
And he said, well, Thibodeau complained, so they reversed the call. It wasn't a double dribble.
It wasn't.
They may have been able to call a carry early when Hartenstein put the ball on the floor. They blew that call, and that was very sloppy officiating.
Right.
But they're down six at that point.
Yep.
I get it. You're still within it, within reach with a minute plus left to go, but to go the small market teams don't get a shot.
Minnesota's a small market. I mean, come on. So I think when you take a look at this, there's a couple things about this. I lived through a series that was absolutely nauseating once. It involved the Pacers and the Bulls. It was Larry Bird and Phil Jackson, and I swear every alternative press conference, one of the losing coach was complaining crazy amounts about the officiating. And at the end of that series, we were all like, this is just disgusting. When you get into environments like Madison Square Garden, you get into a crowd that's been ignited, then yes, I think these referees, they can be influenced. You see it in football. It's playing to the crowd. It's very human nature. You got to be really good at your job to not do that. But to blame it on small market, big market.
But there's also chess being played, too. And your historic example of Jackson and Bird, I remember you telling the story. And then you see the results of that in the next game. They're going back to Indiana for game three. I would expect not only the Knicks to be shorthanded, possibly, because you don't know what's going to happen with Brunson and Ananobi. I think the Pacers are going to win that game, and they're probably going to be very happy with the number of free throws they shoot in that game.
Right,
that,
and then
it,
and then
it
Tom,
evens out.
Right, and Tom Thibodeau will get up and start complaining about, oh, okay, blah, 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 blah. All right, yeah, so I think you're right. I think there's a level of, all right, Rick Carlisle is using the moment, because to submit 49 clips from game two to the league office,
and
you know,
78 total from the first two games.
Wow.
They're going to have to hire a whole staff just to get
through
the
review
footage that the
them.
Pacers submitted.
Right. Yeah. And the Knicks get CC'd on that, so they're aware of all of this as well.
But, you know, most Pacers fans, they're not really getting on board with Rick Carlisle complaining about the officials as much as they're getting on Rick Carlisle for not playing T.J. McConnell down the stretch.
Right. How about that?
The guy has been really good in the first two games for the Pacers. And he played 4 minutes of the fourth quarter and was doing a much better job on Brunson than anybody else on the floor. And you saw what Brunson did in the fourth.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so I think there's a and their level of defense. You see the shooting percentages from the Knicks last night.
Mm-hmm.
So the Pacers, they've got their own stuff they can clean up. Yeah, so you know how the NBA is going to react to that. They're not going to react well to that. But I do agree a lot of that is gamesmanship, trying to get an edge in game three.
Catch the excitement of Arizona Sports Half Day Club. It's making its comeback May 15th. That's next Wednesday. As the D-backs battle the Reds, snag lower level tickets for only $9.87 by texting half to 620-620. You got to act fast. Text half to 620-620 to secure your Half Day Club tickets. Coming up next, more on the Phoenix Suns, the Kevin Durant smoke, and a member of the Suns says, yeah, we needed a point guard. We'll tell you more about that next. Bickley and Murata mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at, like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.